You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. One more segment here. We're not talking about OTAs anymore, although those do start on Tuesday. So our next episode this week will be breaking down what we saw out at OTAs. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the schedule. You know, and we got a lot of it, right? We know there's two cold weather games. We know that the first 7 weeks, very difficult. We know that they have three games in 10 days between week five, which is a Monday night football game against the Chiefs, and week seven, which is a Thursday night football game against Sean Payton and the Broncos. And before we get into anything, let's hear Cam talking about that matchup with the Broncos. And, you know, I broke down the schedule and I was like, hey, this is going to be a much easier game for the Saints to get excited for in a short week than it will be for the Broncos players. And this is kind of why I feel that way.
Speaking of speculation, could we ask you about the game on October 17th? What is it going to be like to see Sean wearing a different visor?
Is that the 7 o'clock p.m. Yes. Thursday night game?
Yes.
Not that.
How weird is that going to be just to see him on a different sideline for a guy who coached you pretty much your entire career?
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, it's not that I've like circled it on a calendar or like marked it down that we have to win that game, but it feels like we have to win that game. Everybody knows who Sean Payton is. We can't let him. do that one.
But yeah, like that's going to be the sentiment. So you're going to have to, like, it's hard. It's difficult. If I'm a team that's going into a short week and playing a Thursday night game, you kind of want that motivation because it's tough. It's tough to turn around and play that game on a Thursday. And if it's a meaningless game against, you know, a 2-15 team, you know, that's the type of game that's like, I wouldn't be surprised if you lose it because it's just really tough to get emotionally back into it. The Saints aren't going to have any problem getting emotionally ready for that game on Thursday night in week seven. So I actually think that's like, in terms of what game did you have to have there for that Thursday night game? I think that's actually a win for them. Like, what do you think?
Thank you, NFL, for definitely putting this in a primetime game. It deserves to have the grand exposure to everyone. I know everyone's eagerly anticipating, like Saints fans, that Sean Payton return to New Orleans in the Superdome. You talk about the sound level that night. I'm sure it is going to be one of those deafening, ear-rocking evenings in the Dome.
What do you think the crowd is going to be like for that game? Because I'm not sure. Like, I feel like if you go into that game and you're like, well, so like 2-4? I want to say that, like, I feel like the reaction is going to be different than if you're like 4-2 and you can be like, kind of like, oh, bless your heart, kind of like cheer, right?
It's tough because I know obviously people appreciate and love what Sean did while he was here and what that swag and attitude he kind of brought. But there are a lot of folks that feel he kind of left everybody high and dry and, you know, took a year off and is now back in the NFL. So I don't know if they give the cheers or the boos.
Do you blame him for DA? Do you blame him for like what's happened
another
since?
One.
Because, like, if you do, then you should boo. If you're mad about DA and Derek and you're booing them, then you should boo Sean because he's the reason they're the coach. He's the reason Dennis Allen is the coach. If Sean,
right, and then he left his spy behind, Pete Carmichael. He brought with him back to Denver.
Well, like Jameis was the quote. You know, I had someone say like, "Oh, the organization never gave Jameis a fair shot," and I'd be like, "I disagree. I don't think it was the organization's fault. I think that's Sean's fault because Sean brought him in. Sean said, "Hey, we're gonna train you to be the next quarterback. You're gonna have you learn behind Drew, and we're gonna get you in there." He got 7 games, and he got hurt, and then Sean bailed. And like you can say, well, DA did him dirty and whatever. It's like, sure, you're right. But at the same time, I also think that a head coach has the right to choose his quarterback.
Yeah.
And he never picked Jameis in the first place for that role. It just kind of got delivered to him. And there was they tried to get Deshaun Watson. Like you saw from day one that they were not committed to Jameis. And again, like I do feel for Jameis. I think he got put in a really difficult situation. But like Sean is the architect of that situation.
And, right. And Dennis was just left picking up the pieces.
Yeah. And Dennis, you know, when it comes to dealing with people, he's terrible. you know, I don't think he has like feelings and emotions like a normal person. I think it's like just a robot. So he didn't handle it well. And it was never going to be handled well. But like I think people should be mad at Sean. Like, I don't think this is a situation where he should come back and everyone would be like, thank you so much for everything, which like, you know, if you handle things a certain way, yes. But I think this is similar to Anthony Davis, if I'm being real. Like, you're all mad.
You're the enemy now. You left us, right?
The only difference is Sean won and AD didn't. Like, Sean was also here a little bit longer. Sean helped kind of deliver everything from the darkness that was Katrina, right? And so, like, you will be thankful for that. But in terms of how he left, in terms of how he kind of said F y'all and got out the way, similar, right? So I don't know. And like, you could also thank both of them because they left in such a way that actually got you assets back. So that was nice of them, I guess. But I did take okay. One more question and then we'll get to your predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you play a tribute video? Like a thank you video?
I don't think so. Because that should get cheers, obviously, with the Super Bowl highlights. I don't think you do. I think, you know, you got to move on. And as much as Sean has done, and I know he's tight with Mickey, and it's like, we've given you your flowers before. I don't know if they do that on a Thursday night game, honestly.
I think you make a tribute video, you post it on Twitter, like a thank you video.
That's fair.
You post it on Twitter, but you do not play it in the stadium on game day because I want that stadium to be hostile.
Yes.
Right. Agreed. I want, and if I start things off, because you would have to play it in the pregame, you're not playing it midgame. If you start things off with that kind of amicable energy, you're not going to get that kind of hostile energy throughout the game. So that's what I would do, because I do think that you have to be gracious in some way.
Good point. And
and I think putting it on social media, you can say, "Hey, we did it."
Right.
But I'm not giving him, because I think that's an advantage to him and his team. If you create that kind of like groundswell of emotional baggage that would be coming in with that video. Because I want the players to be in a certain headspace. I want the fans to be in a certain headspace. And I want his life to be miserable during that game.
And it'll be interesting to see, because who the hell knows what the Denver quarterback situation is going to be like then.
Yeah. And I want Bo Nix to fear for his life if he's starting that game. Anyway, okay, let's kind of get into it. So my schedule prediction, you know, I kind of went off the wall. I have them starting 1-3, I think 1-3. Yeah, 1-3, then winning 5 in a row, then losing 3, and then getting to 10-7, right? It's a roller coaster. It's miserable the whole way. There's going to be booze. There's going to be, but they find a way to 10-7 and go from there. I just think that's kind of where you're at. But like, there's the margin's so narrow. Mike Dettillier had him at 8-9. The difference, really, like, we all kind of, like me, Mike, Bobby, we all kind of have the same feeling of like, hey, you're going to have a rough start. I think we all have them starting 1-3 or 1-4. The difference I have from Mike is I have them beating the Chiefs and kind of upsetting them in that matchup. And then I have them going on the road and beating the Chargers, a team that I don't feel like Mike's given them a lot more credit than I am in terms of being ready to win with no playmakers on offense. Other than
But Harbaugh's back in the NFL here now.
Yeah, well, it's Harbaugh. Like, oh, they're going to run the ball. Yeah, but they're going to run the ball with Gus Edwards. So,
right. I'm not that impressed either with what the Chargers bring to the table. They have a pretty stout defense. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, offensively, who's Herbert throwing to even too?
Well, exactly. Like, I think you need one more good draft and then you're ready. I just don't know if like they could win that game. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not going to chalk it up as like, yeah, the Chargers. The Saints.
Right. I'm not. Oh, you got to go out West. That does suck, but it's not. Is it a short week?
They've played in that building so many times.
Oh, no. So they go from Thursday night to Sunday night football.
Yeah,
so
and they get extra rest on that. Like the last time you went out West, you were on a short week. This time you're going to be on the super week because it's 10 days. Anyway, so that's the difference. Like that's the difference between 8-9 and 10-7. But yeah, I think Bobby, you know, Bobby's prediction was a little tougher to kind of wrangle in terms of how he got through it. I think he had him at 9-8, but it's tough to say. And you know, that opening stretch, right? If the Saints can get through it at 2-2, then I think you're in real good shape. If you're going out at 1-3 or 0-4, which you would have to lose to the Panthers in week one, then you're in serious trouble. Where do you land on kind of that opening stretch, first of all, and then your overall schedule predictions?
Yeah, you mentioned with Hebert, I do recall he's like, if we're above 500 after five games, we're going to the freaking playoffs.
I think he said like 8 games. I think he's like, if you're 4-4 or 5-3 after 8 games, yeah, you're a playoff team.
For me, honestly, I'm right in that range. I could see 8, 9, 10. And so I'm right in the middle right there now with the 9-win season. I need to see more, obviously, during training camp from the offensive line. That is my biggest question with this squad is what are we going to get up front protecting Derek Carr and also providing any kind of blocking for that run game, which I felt has really struggled the last 2 years. And that's why the additions of Benton on the offensive line, Kubiak as offensive coordinator, there should be a lot of excitement going into this year to see what kind of changes can come about. And yeah, I'm gonna err on the side of, oh, it's going to be positive, or at least I'm definitely hoping that, considering what we had to deal with the last couple of years of what felt like a stale Pete Carmichael offense here. It was time for the upgrade. We'll see what happens, obviously, with him teaming up with Sean, if Wonder Twin powers unite, whatever. But with this squad, with New Orleans, they've got the pieces all around Derek Carr with weapons on offense. I'm just worried about the protection around him. And defense, DA's been doing it, so I'm not really worried there, except for the age of some of your prime time leaders, like on all levels. Like Cam Jordan, obviously. We'll see if the ageless wonder of DeMario Davis can continue on. And then obviously a guy in the secondary, and Tyrann Mathieu's up there in age.
Yeah, but so what's your
I'm at a 9-win season right now. I need to see more in camp before I'm not scared of going to that 10-win mark. I would take the over on this team with Las Vegas. I know the odds makers have them at 7.5 wins for the year. And to me, even when that first came out, I thought it was ludicrous.
Yeah, 7.5, it's like, okay, you could say they shouldn't be higher than last year, but to give them two games, like they had them at 9.5 last year, right?
Yeah.
And they won 9 games.
Right.
So like what's changed? Like
you've lost Pete Carmichael.
Right. I would argue that's an upgrade, right?
Yeah.
So what exactly? I mean, I guess like they're looking at the Falcons and saying the Falcons are going to run roughshod over the division. I think that's a mistake.
What's funny too is, yeah, because the Saints weren't big spenders and were hampered by the salary cap over their heads for another season and didn't really add that much this offseason in free agency, it was a huge negative, I felt, with a lot of folks. And I disagree. We'll see what happens, obviously, with Chase Young. Definitely interested to see with the new linebacker they got from Kansas City brings in as well.
Yeah, I don't know. 7.5 just seems like, okay. Like, it's like, you know, and to be fair, it's not Vegas. It's just they're just playing public sentiment, right? Like they're setting it at a line that they want to make money on.
They're pretty damn good with them. Like you mentioned, the year last year, they had them at 9.5. They finished with 9.
Well, I mean, Vegas, you're going into this, like the reason it's at 7.5 is because they know with the public sentiment around the Saints being what it is, and you see, you know, power rankings with them in like 28th, people are going to want to bet the under on the Saints win total. And if you set it at 8.5, people are going to hammer the under because they're like 8 wins. Okay, fine. Whereas if you set it at 7.5, you're going to see a lot more people betting the over. and it's going to be more. You're Vegas. You just don't want to, like, you don't want to set it where so much money is on one side that you lose when that hits. Like, you want to get as close to 50-50 as possible on these, because you're inevitably going to win on like parlays and stuff like that. So that's why you're there. So it's, they're not really analyzing the teams. They're analyzing the betting patterns. But anyway, but no, I think you're right. And I, you know, like, this is my immediate like gut check. Okay, I'm going to go here with this schedule. But, you know, once we watch camp and we get a better picture, once we get through the preseason,
even then things are deceiving. Obviously we were hyping up Juwan Johnson last year in camp and look what happened.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I imagine you're going to see more than one series of Derek Carr in the preseason.
Right, just to see his hold on new offense.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to almost. Unless they're going to use those joint practices with the Niners for more of that work. I don't know.
That's true. They do have the joint practices, and that's a big part of it. Either way, all right, let's wrap that up. Another episode in the books. We'll be back at you later in the week, probably post Thursday morning, maybe Wednesday evening, based on when we can get it done, with OTA takeaways, OTA number one. We'll take attendance. We'll do all that good stuff. But all right, we went through a lot today. Appreciate everyone hanging in. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow him at Steve Geller WWL. You can follow the show at Saints_pod. And obviously check out the latest on WWL.com. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Leave a rating, leave a review at wherever you get your podcasts, or on WWL Sports on YouTube. Ring the bell, all that good stuff. You ready, Steve? You ready to stand out in the sun?
I am ready. I mean, we had a little taste during rookie mini camp and it wasn't so bad. We'll see. I know it's expected to be a lot warmer a couple weeks later now.
It's so hot. It was so nice.
Our towels, our hats, we'll be good.
Yeah, it was so nice during rookie mini camp. It's like, it's going to be a scorcher on Tuesday. I'm not.
It was a tease, right?
I need to go get a new cooling towel.
That is mandatory for camp anytime.
But all right, y'all. Thanks, everyone. You made it to the end. You're a trooper, and I appreciate you. Who dat? Go Saints.
Appreciate you, who dat. Thank you.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.